The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
Joining me now to explain the legal process of the Cleo Smith investigation is the West's legal affairs editor, Tim Clark, who's up in Carnarvon right now. Good morning, Clarky.
Morning, Benny. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. And now, we haven't really seen more anticipation on charges about to be laid since the Claremont killings, which you were front and centre in the reporting of that incident. What do you expect will happen today and going forward?
Yeah, well, we think something will happen today, Ben. I think it's fair to say. The police have obviously been working overtime before and overtime after the amazing moment that Cleo was rescued. But they're obviously keeping their cards slightly close to their chest because there's a lot to do still. As we saw in Claremont, the cops there involved told me once they'd arrested Bradley Edwards, that was when the second part of it really started, and that's exactly the same in this investigation because they've got to put all their ducks in a row, obviously. I'm stood on a street actually now in Carnarvon watching the full task force that are here getting their photo taken. It's quite an amazing moment, actually. 40 coppers in suits, all looking pretty tired, and you could probably hear the locals tooting their appreciation for what they've done. So it's pretty an amazing time in Carnarvon, and will be for some time yet, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And the Premier's there with them for the happy snap.
He is. Yes, the Premier rocked up about 10 minutes ago, carrying a couple of teddy bears. We understand he's going to pay a visit to Cleo's family later on in the day, but the first stop was the cop shop where he thanked the troops for their efforts. And and a photo opportunity. I can see him and Paul Papalia stood in the middle of a group of very tired but happy detectives right now. So it's not often the police are so proactive, I suppose, in their media, but they've said all along that the media were a big help in this case and a big part of their strategy in trying to solve this case. So they've been very kind to us since we arrived yesterday, and we hope that they will continue to.
Yeah, well, I hope their police hats aren't being blown off in that photo shoot because it sounds pretty windy out there.
It is pretty windy, mate. They managed to get the drone up so they could get the shot from the air. So there was a police officer organising that. So that was well flown. But
the drone will be halfway to Bali now.
It's all systems go up here in terms of investigation, in terms of media, and in terms of congratulating each other as well. There was a sort of impromptu party at the pub last night where some of the detectives gathered to just thank each other and debrief and de-stress. So there might be a couple of dusty heads amongst that group of 40 as well this morning. There's one on my shoulders too, I have to admit. So, it's just the vibe in the town. It's been amazing. The balloons went up almost as soon as the news came out. They sold out of pink balloons within 3 hours. As you can hear, the tooting horns and the standing ovation that the coppers got when they got into the pub last night. It's just a really thankful, grateful and relieved community.
And so, it's assuming that charges do get laid today, what is the next steps?
Well, so he will be charged with something, we assume, along the lines of kidnapping, which is the allegation. Then they'll have to get him into court. By law, they've got to do that as quickly and as speedily as possible. So if those charges come at some time midday, we might see him in a courtroom at some stage today, maybe tomorrow. Where that's going to be, we're not sure yet. Could be here, could be Geraldton, could be Perth. That'll be operational, and obviously there'll be safety aspects to that too. And then my anticipation would be that first court appearance wouldn't take very long. You wouldn't think that this man would apply for bail, and certainly if he did, he wouldn't get it. So he'll be placed into custody, and the process will then begin. The legal process will then begin about the investigation and all the threads being pulled together, so a case can be presented to his lawyers, and then he will get a chance to plead to that charge when the time comes.
And in terms of the timeline of how a matter like this would proceed through the courts, we know there's a backlog of cases at the moment in the legal system. What do you think is a likely situation?
Well, yeah, I mean, with a case like this, with all the amount of information that was gathered, the amount of information that will have to be now gathered up into a brief, this won't be quick, you wouldn't have thought. They'll give the police as much time as they need, not infinite time, but as much time, and they'll also give the accused man as much time as he needs to consider the case against him before he puts in his plea. So, yeah, look, I think it'll be months rather than weeks before we maybe even see him in court again, and certainly before there's a resolution one way or the other.
Mm. And normally in the case where there's a child victim, information, details are suppressed to protect that victim. What happens in this case when everybody already knows who the victim is?
Yeah, that was an interesting point that was raised over a beer last night, and we were scratching our heads. It will depend on the nature of the charge, Ben, I think. If it's a pure kidnapping charge, let's say, then it's almost impossible then to obviously suppress Cleo's identity, because everyone in Australia has now seen her beautiful face. If there was a sexual element to the charge, and we haven't been given any detail as whether that is incoming or not, that would create its own issue, because by law, any alleged victim of sexual abuse has their identity protected. But again, in this case, everyone knows who the victim is, so alleged victim is. So, look, we will be guided by the police, we will be guided by the courts, and we'll be guided by our own sort of ethics and principles. Mm. But on the basic thing of it, if he is charged with a sexual offence, then we probably, by law, would not be allowed to name Cleo Smith tomorrow, which is bizarre, but that's the way the law works, and it's there for a very good reason. Yeah.
And assuming he has a day in court and he's charged and all of that sort of stuff, will it be in Carnarvon or will they move it to Perth?
Well, look, there is a courthouse basically attached to the police station at the back of Carnarvon. It's a very well-appointed little justice complex here. So there is a facility here to get him into a court. Whether they think that court is secure enough, big enough, whatever, they might make the decision to take him down to Geraldton, where there is a court there, or they might even take him down to Perth. But again, by law, my understanding is they've got to get him up sort of as quickly as they physically can. So to delay that process any more might be more trouble than it's worth. So, yeah, we might find out more later in the day, I think.
Mm. And there's been a lot of people talking about this man, sharing things on social media. We know people have a penchant for doing that. To what extent does that, I guess, hamper the investigation and potentially create problems for a criminal trial down the track?
Well, the investigation itself, it would be a bugbear, but, you know, not a hamper. The court case could be a completely different matter. If you think in maybe a year and a half's time, if this man pleads not guilty and he's got to go before a jury, which, you know, in itself would be, you know, a head-scratcher, because everyone knows the case and everyone knows what he's allegedly done. That stuff that goes on social media is a potential to poison a jury pool. If you've read it, if you've dived into it, if you've believed it, if you've participated in it, then there's no way you could possibly be seen as a balanced, unbiased juror. So, yeah, it's problematic. And, you know, we've heard right throughout this case the problems and issues and some of the poison that's been on social media about this case. And, yeah, I've seen some of it this morning. It's not pleasant, and it's certainly not helpful, certainly to any judicial process going forward.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. And apparently there was even an instance of the wrong man being pictured in stories on the East Coast. I think it's a wise idea to just maybe leave it to the experts and be very circumspect before you go shooting your mouth off on social media.
I think before you post, mate, yeah. that's my golden rule.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have to worry about you, though. You always do that. The West Legal Affairs Editor, Tim Clark, good luck reporting in Carnarvon today. It's fantastic that it's a good news story, so rare in our line of work. Thanks for joining us on The West Live.
Always a pleasure, mate.